New Podcast, episode 31. Can you believe we've done this 31 times?
31 is my lucky number. It was my baseball number in college.
And that's a weird lucky number, 31. No one ever says that.
It's like the opposite of 13, which is an unlucky number. Yeah,
31 is my number.
I have never in my life heard someone say, my lucky number is 31. It's usually like 7 or 2.
I've never heard it above the thousands. You've never heard, my lucky number is 12,473.
Well, you're probably right. But yeah, no, I've always, when I played baseball, I always had a 1 on the end of my number. 1, 11, whatever, 21. And when I got to college, the only number that was available with a 1 on the end of it was 31. So
gotcha.
That's my number.
Yeah, episode 31. We've done 31 of these, and we're pretty popular. Sorry, I got a little milky bubbly there. I'm kind of sick, so
everybody in our region is sick, and I don't think the doctors have any clue what's going on at this point.
If you hear me, like, coughing and sneezing.
We're not editing it out. We'll just go.
Just let it ride.
Just put the beeps on there.
Well, I was telling you before. Yeah, right, the beep. I was telling you before, I took a hit of Flonase before you guys came in here, so my brain's on fire. Because it went straight to my brain, and I could feel it up in here. Like, what is this called?
Your temple.
Is this my temple?
Temples are on the side.
Temples are side. So, this, my third eye.
Frontal lobe.
My frontal lobe.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm all jacked up on Flonase. Let's get this going.
I was surprised you all let me come back this week. Robert was awesome.
Robert did do well.
Yeah.
I know. Not bad for an attorney, right?
He did pretty good.
Now we can go back to talking bad about him.
LaCroix drinking. No.
So stupid.
The aluminum water cracked me up. That was a funny one.
I like aluminum water.
Yeah.
I'd just refill that can over and over, and over. Yep. If I liked it.
We've been conditioned.
I am so happy because we went to an event this morning and I finally, thank God, finally got served a proper breakfast.
You did. You're going to have to put a picture of it out.
He already had.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Trust me, that was the first thing that was going out. I was like, this breakfast was legit. No more pastries. No more halfway doing this with Seattle's.
Do they have biscuits and gravy?
Best. No, but it was
still good.
It was better.
Fusion did the breakfast.
Yeah, Fusion's really good.
It was so much better than biscuits and gravy. It was straight fire.
It was a take on chicken and waffles.
Yeah, and potatoes. It was so good.
I love chicken and waffles.
So we were at the Cosby Awards 2022.
Kingsford Office of Small Business and Entrepreneurship.
That's right. And we won an award.
Did. So, that's awesome.
I got to eat an awesome breakfast, and we accepted an award for
Staying Power Award.
So what is the Staying Power Award for?
So there were 30 businesses that made it through the, like, you submitted an application, and they brought 30 businesses in to, I guess, interview with a panel of 5 people. And then there were 8 awards. And so there were things like New Business Award, the Gazelle Award, so that was somebody who leapt higher in the last 2 years. There was a Veteran-Owned Business Award, which is actually what we won in 2011 because Dad being in the Navy, we counted as a veteran-owned business at that point. So this one was the Staying Power Award, and that was a business that has been able to maintain their, you know, growth and strategy and presence in the community over a significant period of time. And Dad started Aldebaran in 1991, so we've been at this for a while.
Yeah.
It was fun. We missed you, Brian.
They only gave us 2 tickets.
Well, I would have went and everything, but it was black tie. And
it was not black tie. I was black tie.
Peter comes walking in a tuxedo.
Hey, my tux still fit.
Yeah.
But no, I get in there, and I could count on my hands the number of actual black tie gentlemen there were. But
you know, there's no such
thing. Black tie breakfast on the invite.
There's no such thing as a black tie breakfast. That's like Bigfoot. Doesn't exist.
You've been really onto Bigfoot lately.
Just One last jab. I'm done with him.
This is 3 weeks of Josh talking about Bigfoot.
I'm done with him. Now that we're getting ready to, we're transitioning into Christmas, so it's more of the, what would that be, the Yeti? The Abominable Snowman?
The Abominable Snowman.
Is that his cousin?
Guys watched the series Wednesday?
Not yet.
It's on Netflix. It's about Wednesday Addams from the Addams Family.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, I saw
There's a scene in there, and it blew my mind, and it just popped up when you said that. They're at a dance, and they've done a big ice sculpture of what I would call an abominable snowman. Mm-hmm. And one of the characters says that, and then another character is like, no, that's insensitive. You have to call them a Yeti. I was like, what the? Are we really getting down to that level of wokeness? But, it was
we just need the Yeti. Series. If the Yeti comes out and tells us that he doesn't want to be called that, I'm not going to call him that.
I don't even feel comfortable saying, is it abominable?
Yep. Abominable.
Abominable. Abominable.
Yeah.
What a hard word. Who came up with that?
I feel like Nemo trying to say anemone. Like an abominable.
I think that's what Washington should have renamed its football team, though. The Washington Yetis.
There you go. The Washington Abominable Snowman.
I always want to say abdominal.
The abdominal.
That's not right.
So I've got abs of snow.
That's cool, though, because we're rolling into Christmas.
Yep.
And I was talking to Brian about this. I was like, there's so many things that fall under the Christmas umbrella that we should mention something now, and we can mention a few other things later.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, and I feel like our go-to would be best Christmas movie, which I feel like this could cause some tension in the group here because I have a feeling I know what Peter's going to say. But I could be surprised, but I think that he's going to say something incorrect. Brian, I have no clue what you're going to say, something stupid like Die Hard or something.
No, I thought that's where you were going.
Predator.
Is that what you were
going
to say?
I thought that's where you were going, and live up to expectations.
So I am going, I'll start because I'm going to give you guys time to think since I'm kind of just dropping this on you. But the all-time best Christmas movie, this is non-negotiable. So,
we don't even get to talk after this. We'll just move on to the next segment.
You can say whatever you want to say, but it's non-negotiable. But it is Christmas Vacation.
It's up there.
Yeah, I like it.
Well, it's fine, but that's what it is. Just tell you.
I'm going to go with Die Hard.
Bruce Willis himself has said it's not a Christmas movie.
That's it.
I get it. I get the argument. I have that argument with friends all the time.
Yeah.
People then normally throw it back that means Home Alone can't be a Christmas movie because it's the same movie as Die Hard.
It's just, I don't know. But Christmas Vacation is the best Christmas movie ever from start to finish.
I kind of like Elf.
Okay.
And Lacey, stop listening at this point, but I think it's because it's Zooey Deschanel.
It's not a bad reason.
I mean, she's pretty great.
Yeah, she's awesome.
It's I wasn't on the Elf train until recently, and I've more enjoyed it because the boys think it's so funny. Like watching their reaction to it. The movie itself, for me, I could take it or leave it after.
There's so many
it.
Quotable moments that you can have fun with. Yeah. Like, you walk into the room and you're like, I'm in love, and I don't even care who knows it, And
I really enjoy Elf until the last 25 minutes. It
goes
of
off
it.
The rails a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah, and then I'm just like, oh, can you just speed this up a little bit?
James Caan is great in that movie. Mm-hmm. I know we just lost him. I think my favorite Christmas pick, and this probably is because I'm a parent now, is because I want to be able to watch it with my family. And there's an age that you can start watching Christmas Vacation with, right? I'm going Muppets Christmas Carol.
Oh, I'm changing mine. Mine's Muppets Christmas Carol.
Solid music, quotable lines.
That Michael Caine. That is not what I was expecting.
Yeah, I'm changing mine. Peter's right. It's negotiable, Josh. You're wrong.
That is our one, like, as a family, like, no, you cannot watch it until the whole family has watched it together, right. Movie. And
I just knew you were going to say A Christmas Carol.
Peter
or a
had
Christmas
a
story.
Peter loves
Christmas
the Muppets,
story.
Though.
Christmas story.
Christmas story.
Didn't you have a Muppets play for your wedding?
Yeah, Kermit was on our CD. Yep.
Yeah.
Rainbow Connection.
How cool is that?
Yeah. I do. I love Muppets Christmas Carol. Christmas Story's good. They just made the second one. I haven't seen it yet. It's with the original cast. Mm-hmm. It just came out.
I don't like that movie.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
I mean, when the kid gets his tongue stuck to the...
But it's not
pole, that's about the best
part
of it.
But it's not good. Yeah. It is not good enough for TBS to air it for like 12 straight hours.
Would I rather watch nothing? Yeah.
So let's then take this the other direction. What was one that you loved growing up, and now you're like, because I just did this here recently. It was in the last couple of years. Like, I loved this movie, Christmas movie, and then I made my family watch it, and we all sat there. We're like, what garbage is this? You know, it's just, it didn't resonate at all.
Hmm.
So my example is Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas. We watch that every year. It's a shorter special. It's by Jim Henson. Loved it as a kid. It is the slowest Christmas movie that I've ever seen now.
I think the one for me like that, but I can't think what's the one with the it's the old school Rudolph one.
Yeah, with like the claymation style.
Yeah, what's
just
that?
Rudolph. Yeah.
Is it Rudolph?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that what it's
that
called?
Is the Rudolph story is one of Katie's least favorite things. It's the messaging behind it. She can't watch it.
Is that the one that they go to the Island of Misfit Toys?
I love the
Island of Misfit
Toys. So that was one that I used to love.
I haven't seen it recently, so
well,
I might be.
Watch it as an adult, and then you'll be like, oh, they only liked Rudolph when he was useful, and oh, we're going to send all the messed up children to another island. You know, just watch for those themes. You do get Bumble's Bounce.
There was this hilarious comic. It was Rudolph was applying to become part of the Justice League. And they're like, what's your superpower? And Rudolph's like, well, my nose glows really dark or really bright. And they're like, well, I don't know if that's enough to get you into the Justice League or not. He's like, I can also fly, and I can, you know, visit every house in one night. And they're like, why didn't you start with that? Yep. He's like, that wasn't that big of a deal in my last job.
So, Brian, do you have one that you used to like?
No, everything I used to like is still awesome.
You're still on board. Yeah. Well, you're still young.
Yeah, it'll happen.
Give it a few more years. And speaking of that, millennials, hello. Listen, Brian and I have bonded so hard on this millennial train that we've been on for so long because we're trying to change the narrative, right?
We're going to take a step back.
But
here.
We're really going to, what we're ultimately about to do is shoot ourselves in the foot because Brian shared some information earlier about, what was it, 25% of millennials?
So, first of all, millennials are 26 to 41 now, so we're getting up there.
Peter, are you still?
Nope. 26 to 40. I'm out of this group. I'm 41.
You are the only one sitting here without any gray hair.
I got some in my beard. You know.
But you're also the only one sitting here without hair.
Without hairs.
Well, that's my choice.
But yeah, 25% of millennials, the entire generation, is now living with their parents.
Man.
1/8 of the generation moved in with their parents this year.
Wow.
So that's a big chunk for 1 year of an entire group of people. The primary reasons that the millennials that they talked to were citing were high rent prices, which are up about 14.07% this year,
mm-hmm.
money concerns, and job loss.
I mean, I think it's definitely indicative of the times. The high rent, when you say that, do you guys remember the political candidate number years back who his whole thing was the rent's too damn high? That was his political slogan.
No, I don't remember him.
He was I think it was in New York, and that was his whole platform. and he had this big personality, but that was his only part of his platform.
He's just a few years too early.
He was just like, look, the rent's too damn high.
So it's kind of like,
elect me, I'll fix it.
It's kind of like Donald Trump.
Yeah, about that time.
Just take one thing and just run with it.
Run with it. And okay. He was a little before his time. You know, social media now would have blown him up huge probably. But, you know, we've seen over the last two decades collecting of the wealth within baby boomers and their generations. And part of that's structural, part of that's tax code, part of that's just the way life has been. Part of that's been the expenses that now hit younger people that didn't in the past. And so there's a huge gap. But here in the next 20 years, we have roughly $68 trillion that's going to shift from baby boomers to their children. And that's going to be extremely interesting to navigate because you're going to have these people who didn't grow up with wealth and all of a sudden inherit wealth or whatever it is, and can they manage it, you know? And so it's going to be a massive wealth transfer over the next two decades. But in the meantime, they're stuck living in their mom's basement.
Their mom's basement. Wow. And, you know, here's a
playing
here's
video
a fun
games,
fact.
Watching, you know.
38% of millennials who live with their parents are being charged to live with their parents, charged rent. And the majority of those that are being charged are having to spend more than $500 a month to pay for their parents' rent.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't even know how to respond to that.
That one hit me, and I was like, you know, I moved back in with my parents for a little bit after college, and they didn't charge me, and it allowed me to get a, you know, step up. But, you know, how much did it end up hurting them?
I think the only thing that remotely in my head would justify it would be contributing to, like, groceries and the fact that you're using hot water or whatever it is. So I could see some
like
financial...
Like a portion of the utilities and the food. Yeah.
Yeah, but just straight out rent space, the house was there anyway.
Anyway, yeah.
But, you know, you could make the argument, because that's what I like to do, is if you were paying $1,000 in rent for an apartment, and you told your parents, look, I'm not going to be able to make it, but, you know, if I could get my rent down to $700, you know, it's going to work. And they say, well, why don't you come live with us, put that $700 in rent to us, we'll pay off our mortgage, then you'll inherit the house, you're growing. Yeah. You know, I could see that argument a little bit, but just flat out using your kids as a money-making machine on the spare bedroom.
It's pretty obvious millennials are the best of the generations and stuff. And
of course.
And the baby boomers are just wanting to keep us in their houses longer. We're enjoyable to be with.
No,
charge us enough money.
That's not it.
We can't move out.
That's not it.
No. I don't think that's how that goes.
I thought that was an interesting thing.
I don't even know how to wrap my head around that.
Well, I think it's a lot of what we do. It really is. I think there was a lack of financial education that was had. I think that there was, you know, this wealth and prosperity that the baby boomers experienced. They didn't share that knowledge with their kids. They felt like they needed to keep it away from them. And we're actually seeing the generation behind millennials picking up, you know, some of the habits that, you know, so it's, I think it's cyclical a little bit. And we've got to do a better job of educating. Making good choices.
It's always interesting to me what children take away from their parents. You know, in this example, we'll say my parents didn't show me a lot of attention.
Right.
It, you know, that would cause me, if once I become a parent, to show my kids a ton of attention.
Right.
Or, you know, if my parents didn't talk to me about money, it makes me feel like money should be more, you know, I feel like you learn from your parents a bit. And you not only take away what they taught you, but you take away what they didn't teach you, too. Maybe put more of an emphasis on it when you raise your kids.
Yeah, you also have, you know, I think as a parent, you have the opportunity to kind of break generational trends or habits, which kind of sounds like what you're talking about. So maybe, you know, I don't know. I'm still just baffled that number is so high. 25% is a lot.
That's a lot of people.
And I've been sitting here the whole time thinking, well, what would it look like if I moved back in with, and listen, I love my parents. I love my mom, I love my dad, but I do not want to live with them. No offense. It's just like, it wouldn't work. I feel like I would do everything in my power to not get to that point. Whether that's, you know, selling out, living minimalistic lifestyle.
Oh, absolutely.
I feel like I would literally do everything I could but I also don't like to ask people for help. So that's a weird one.
And if I was at home, I'd be putting every cent I had towards getting back out.
Right.
I think. But I was mentioning this earlier as part of a discussion. We've also gone away from communal living. You know, so there's nowhere for, you know, I shouldn't say there's nowhere, because there are places, it's just less than they were in the past, that millennials could maybe band together, get six people, get a house, split the rent, you know, try to drive their expenses down to as low as possible, and so they can build their own wealth and not have to fall back to the parents. But we've become a very individualized society.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that keeps that from happening.
But one thing that I think is worth acknowledging is, and I feel like I can, you know, honestly comment on this because this is my people group, right? The age range. How much is it truly inflation, and how much is it just poor money management?
It's both. Millennials are awful on average at managing money.
Right.
I went through high school without ever taking, we didn't even have an option for a personal finance class through high school.
It's required now.
But it wasn't when we were going through it.
Yeah.
So that's our excuse.
Not that that's would solve everything, but it's a combination of that and the generation above us not teaching us that side of, and it may be lack of interest too, you know, but there's definitely an issue with millennials and managing money.
Yeah, it's out there, and we're going to have to find a way to combat it. And
because if you're bad with money and then you get the money you were talking about,
yeah, it's going to be bad. But, you know, part of this too is structural. You know, there were the eviction freezes, so we've had a delay in, you know, some of the rent accelerated really heavily, very quickly. So there's that structural, but you should have been able to see that coming.
Yeah.
But also, the millennials have a significant more amount of student debt compared to previous generations at this time
which
in their life.
Cash flow. Josh, do we have time to talk about the 12 days of Christmas?
That's what I was actually just trying to look up.
Okay.
are you done downing and dogging millennials?
Yeah, a little bit.
There are good millennials out there. You know.
There's three of us here, apparently.
Apparently. I'm an elder millennial.
An elder millennial.
Peter,
a trillional.
since we're on the subject, Peter, can we just live with you?
Yeah, what communal living?
Dad.
There's
Peter,
a couch
Dad.
In your office.
Well, there's a few things about the 12 days of Christmas that I wanted to go over because I think this is super cool.
Other than they were a psychopath to give six birds out of the first 7 days?
Oh, there are so many birds. So there are a lot of birds. So there was an increase if you were going to do the 12 days of Christmas. There is about a 10.5% increase in how much it's going to cost you this year compared to last year.
If you wanted to purchase one of every thing in the 12 days of Christmas, correct?
It's 9.8% higher if you did all 364 items.
So is inflation even coming down on the 12 days of Christmas?
So the inflation part of it's interesting. It's the birds. Fertilizer and bird feed have gone up a lot. So those are your bigger chunks. The maids of milking, the minimum wage hasn't increased, so they're still about the same as they were getting paid back in 2009.
I was looking at what they valued maids of milking at, and I have no idea how they came up with the number.
It's $58.
Is that for like an hour's worth of work?
Yeah, divided by. So that was their other question, is the legality of buying a drummer. So we have a drummer here, Josh.
Yeah, right.
So according to this, to buy Josh, it's $272.24.
Per hour?
Or it just, doesn't specify in the song.
I mean, that's a cheap deal.
You're overpaying, Peter. You could just own him for $272.
Yeah, I've never been, asked to be purchased. I'm not above it, but it's just a display.
I've listened to his band before. He is worth. At least that while drumming, maybe not when he's not drunk.
When I'm off duty.
When he's off duty, he's not worth anything.
Do one of those charity auctions and auction a date night off to get your true value.
Oh, dear Lord. That would be...
I always see those in movies, and I'm like, oh, my God, that's the worst thing ever.
That would be one of my worst nightmares.
That's how Josh met Bubba, his soulmate.
to be auctioned off, because... There's always, I think, with anyone, and of course I have no personal experience with this, but I think anyone who goes through that should have this panic of, what if no one bids?
That, and I would imagine that the majority of, like, pretty women wouldn't have to pay to go on a date with you. So those aren't who would buy him.
Well, maybe I'm just doing it wrong. Maybe I need to rethink the whole cycle here. But yeah, I'm scrolling through this, Brian, what you had sent me. I think it was really interesting. They have 9 ladies dancing at $8,300.
And 12 drummers drumming at $32.
Yeah.
I feel like you could know that.
I feel like you can find 9 dancing ladies cheaper than $8,000.
Well, Lords of Leaping and Swans of Swimming seem to be the most expensive things. And that's day 7 and 10.
You know, looking at this now, I didn't realize, and this is one of those things where I guess you don't realize it until, you know, you sit down and actually talk about it, but I didn't realize there were so many birds in this song.
You get to day 5, you're like, ah, finally rings, and then, you know, day 6, you get geese.
And then swans.
Yep. It's all birds up in the front. But then...
And then it's people.
Yeah, and then you get people. So we're going with animal husbandry and then slavery. So, you know, it's quality, wholesome. You know, nobody has canceled this song like they did Baby It's Cold Outside.
That's
so.
True.
Give it time.
It'll come.
Yeah.
Now, what I did think
was
interesting.
This was before abolitionist, this last go around.
Yeah, before we could add abolition. $197,000 and change to do the whole 364 gifts. Because after day 1, day 2, you give day 2 and day 1. So each day it builds. So you've got 364 gifts to give.
Yeah. See, and they priced the partridge in a pear tree at $280. There is no, like, is that no way that's a full-grown pear tree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably not.
I have so many questions.
For 1,000 points on Jeopardy, what exactly is a partridge?
I had to look up what a French hen was earlier.
What if you want an American hen?
You want American?
We don't want them Frenchies. We want the American.
Remember when we changed French fries to Freedom Fries right after 9/11?
What?
I did not remember that.
Yeah. So while they
you're lying.
Look it up. We were building a coalition of countries to go after the Taliban, and France didn't want to participate in the way that we were going to participate in that patriotic fervor. There was calls for French fries to be renamed Freedom Fries in the United States.
There you go. That, even if that was the official thing, I don't think it would have caught on. It's, yep.
That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I don't even know how
and
to
respond
to that.
That's coming from someone who,
yeah, that's
who I offered to buy for $272.
And I've made a living over 15 years coming up with creative, dumb, just ridiculousness. But that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Freedom fries?
Freedom fries.
Listen, I'm all about being patriotic.
Can we still call curly fries, though?
Right. No, I'm calling them Mo fries.
Mo fries. Larry fries just don't do it for me. It's either got to be Mo
fries.
Or curly.
Freedom fries. Yep. 9/11 history.
Wow. I learned something today. Also,
not about money, but
not about money, but freedom fries. I'm troubled now. I've got so many questions about the 12 days of Christmas, and I don't even know. Is there somewhere or someone you can contact to ask detailed questions?
Pretty sure they're gone now. Whoever wrote it.
It's not like they got the Butterball hotline.
But
they
do they?
Have
yeah. But do
they still do that?
Oh yeah.
But do they have like a? You know, like a foundation that you can contact. 12 Days of Christmas Foundation.
I don't know. I do know that every time I think of the Butterball Hotline, I think of the West Wing.
Oh, it's so good. That's a great clip.
Every year I hope that Peter's going to give me a knife to cut turkey, and that,
yeah, I did.
But he just doesn't.
No. I didn't know Paul Revere.
But you do have the back thing sort of like... Yeah. Bartlett, so you could pull it off.
It'll be all right.
Wow, Brian, that was a rabbit hole.
Sorry.
And now I'm troubled. I'm going to do a lot of Googling when we get done with this.
All right. Have you heard the 12 Redneck Days of Christmas by Jeff Foxworthy?
I have heard the. Yeah. I don't know it as well.
That one's quality.
I don't know it verbatim. Maybe we can dig into that one next week.
Yeah,
that sounds.
The
like...
inflation on that would be pretty heavy because you got four mud flap tires or something like that. I mean, it's all in there. Three cans of Skull, I think, is in there. So I mean, you've got a
Skull price has gone up.
It's got to have been hit by inflation.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you got to have fertilizer for the tobacco.
Yeah.
Oh Lord, we're done here. I'm calling it. Just going to end this right now.
I do want to thank all the people over at Cosby. It was a great event this morning.
It was,
we want to swing back to that. We're super proud. I'm glad. I'm very thankful to Josh, who put actually a lot of work into our application, and we had a good time. We had a good table. I was so pleased. Like the people who were at our table, you never know. And I didn't know many of them before the morning. Josh knew a few of them, but. Made it really enjoyable, and you know, everything that Cosby does really helps our community.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a great event.
Yeah.
And
they're always willing to help people too.
Oh, yeah.
During the year, if you're a small business and you need assistance, they would be my first go-to.
Yeah.
A lot of people will ask us business questions that I immediately just say, you need to go down to Cosby and talk to them because it's in the weird licensing or in fundraising for their business.
And they just know it.
And they know it.
Well,
they know
I mean, well. That's what they're there for.
Yep.
That's their wheelhouse. That's why they exist. And it's really important because a lot of that, a lot of those harder detailed questions can be make or break later on down the road for your business if you don't get those things started on on the right path. So, really thankful for them. Happy for the event this morning. Really, really proud of our group for winning that award. But I will say, if anyone has any questions, comments, concerns, snide remarks, just email us at connect@afiadvisors.com. We are still very open to hearing if you like Brian or Robert better.
He is slightly more educated. The looks thing doesn't matter on here. It's radio.
Until we start videoing, which is happening in the future, so you're going to have to comb your
hair
and look
out.
Halfway presentable.
I know. Black tie.
But then I have to put on shoes.
That's true.
That's true.
Peter just walks in here with no shoes
We're
on.
We're really slumming it today, guys.
I wore a tux at 8 o'clock in the morning.
And that was the peak of the day.
Walking into my office with no shoes, I'm like, dang it, man. Show some respect.
Socks on. They're thick.
Put some respect on my name.
This is the first thing Josh said to me today was, comb your hair, you look homeless.
Gosh. Yeah, so go follow us on all of our social media channels. Be sure to reach out with any questions, and please let us know if you like Brian or Robert better. That's a personal question.
Just send them to me, and I'll take the important ones and forward them on.
That's right. Go check out the website, AFIadvisors.com. And we thank everyone for listening, and we will catch you next week.